Father God, we bow before you once again this evening hour you've given to us. We humble ourselves, we praise you, and thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Help us, Father, that we may know you and make you known in our lives, trusting in you, O Lord God, at all times. May you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. So for this evening's meditation, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 28. This is actually a second part series from what Brother Lakshman had spoken last week. He spoke about the cost of discipleship, and he specifically pointed out an example of the man who was building the tower. The man who was building the tower, we see that he had planned, he had calculated the cost of what it would be, inventory done, and so forth, and how that can be applied into following Jesus. That we need to count the cost. It is a very valuable cost, but at the same time, it is much of a superior gain, and that is what we see. So I would like to focus on the second part of the example that Jesus has given, but at the same time, go over what the example that Brother Lakshman spoke last week, just to reiterate the importance of it. So reading from verse 28 of chapter 14, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with the 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Here we see two examples that's given here, which is applicable to the context of drawing the truth of what it means to be the disciple of Christ, or discipleship in him. So Jesus is actually clarifying here what it means and giving the warning to count the cost first before following him. First of all, following Christ is costly, it is valuable, and at the same time, it is a high price that we pay. So when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves a question, and it raises that big question as to what is described here. How do we count the cost of following Jesus? You know, how do we discern the cost of discipleship in our individual calling? How do we count the cost in advance when we don't know what will be required of us? And finally, can we assume that the cost is total and complete? You know, Jesus is actually calling us into discipleship with him, but we need to make sure that the cost, we need to make sure that we count the cost that before we sign up to be the discipleship of with Jesus, because the cost is pricey and it is steep. But at the same time, we should never be naive in the point where we are later surprised as that as we get into the ministry, or as we get into following Jesus, that we are disappointed or we go back impulsively because we have seen that the cost is so high. So when we look at the first example here that we just read, it is about this man who is building a tower, that as he's building the tower, he plans, sits down and plans as to what will cost in building this tower. And he does that to be able to show that when he has laid the foundation, and if he doesn't have enough, then he will become a laughing stock. And that is what we see, that that planning has to be full and complete. You know, I live in the city of Frisco, and in the city of Frisco, within the night, you have buildings rising up. You know, you have homes and business buildings and a lot of things that are rising up within the night. And there is a certain building called the Wade Park, W-A-D-E Park. It's crossing Denton, Dallas, North Tollway, and Lebanon Road. And this is actually a park that one of the developers named, his name was Stan Thomas, who had acquired about 176 acres of land. And this was in the year of 2017. And as he had acquired this land, he had to buy it from a real estate company. And the real estate company gave him that land, 176 acres. And as he had signed the agreement with them, we can see later on that there was a very steep and an absurd high rate that this real estate company had put upon him. The only reason for that is that he might go out of business or that he might be bankrupt as a developer. And so even to this day, we can see that that whole place and that whole thing is under a big litigation because of what had happened. It is a sore eye because when you drive through that, you can see it is a big gaping hole that's there. So we can see that you need to count the cost in every situation. The second example that we see here is about a king that is going to war with another king for knowing that he has his armies, which is about 10,000 soldiers. And when he is also at the point of sitting down and counting the cost of knowing if his enemy is approaching him, who is double the size, who is probably 20,000 more, that is what we read in the Word of God. And while his enemy is still far away, he brings out a delegation or an ambassador to be able to bring about and ask for conditions of peace. And so we see that this example is also being identified here. So by providing these two examples, Jesus is very keen and he's very specific to the point to point out what it would cost to build this tower or to win this war, that there may be financial implications. There may be relationships that's costing here, or even to the point our lives may be cost as well. Nonetheless, to be able to attain something great in our lives, there is always a valuable cost that must be paid. So this passage in itself, it starts from the verse 25. It's a very hard passage about the cost of discipleship. But on the other hand, we can see that it is the most highest and the most blessed reality of your life and experience of a believer, because he is to be a disciple of Christ. And that is in itself is a very cost. So our Lord is saying here that if anyone who wishes to come after me, now in terms of great achievements and or triumph for a believer, we can see it is us who gains Christ, who one who knows him personally, and at the same time, one who follows hard after him. And that is our achievement as a believer. So here we can see in this slide here, we can see actually three indisputable conditions our Lord is actually directing us, or he's setting before us, of how to be that authentic disciple, how to be a real disciple of Christ. And that is what we read here in verse 26 and 27, just a couple of verses before. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the first thing that we see here is that Jesus said that if anyone comes after me, here are the conditions. The first condition is that you must produce that hatred towards all things. You must hate your family, your closest of kin, and even your own life to be a disciple of mine. Now, when the Lord says about hating someone, it is not the modern sense of what we mean by hate. There is no feeling of intense or passionate dislike against someone. But the Lord is asking us that we need to remove our priorities, our loyalty from what we hold so close in our lives. And that is a very hard saying. I can stand up here and easily say it, but can you imagine giving up your or removing your loyalties from your parents or your children or your sibling? How hard that is. But at the same time, our Lord is the one who gives that grace to be able to go through that, if knowing that you're committed to step out in faith and be his disciple. The next condition that we see here is that we need to bear our own cross. You know, are we removing the priorities in our lives, the earthly things in our lives? Are we removing those priorities? Because as soon as we remove those priorities, we will feel rejected. You know, we will feel denied. We will feel refused in our lives and abandoned probably at the same time. And that is what it means to be able to bearing our own cross. But at the same time, praise be to God that he has not left us alone there, but he has said to come after me. How gracious and how loving is our God to be able to show that I am the one who you should confide in completely. I'm the one who you should come after, knowing for the fact that as you bear your cross daily in your life, you must never forget to go to him daily. So following Jesus in discipleship is an all or nothing or a full pledge in itself. Because if there is not that enough commitment in our life, enough resources, we are not an authentic disciple of Jesus. You know, when the disciples of Jesus were called to follow him, we can see Peter, James, and John, they all counted the cost as well. Because if we look into the fact of how Jesus called them, we can see, for example, the life of Peter. You know, as a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee, he was casting his net into the sea, and Jesus called him, "Come and follow me." Then we see James and John, they were actually in the boat mending their nets, and Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And then we see Matthew, who was attending the tax office. So we can see that our Lord is not calling anyone from the streets, but he's calling individuals who had professions, who had livelihood, who had so many things that they could have hold on to in their life. But in all those moments, that call of God changed their life completely. And that is what we see here, that they, so that we see that they were not naively signing up. They were not signing up naively or later. They were not surprised at the high cost. So when we ask that question, how do we count the cost of following Jesus? The answer actually is in verse 26 and 27, however hard it is. First, we know that our Lord requires that upfront commitment to the highest possible cost. Let me repeat that again. Our Lord requires that upfront commitment to the highest possible cost. So what is that highest possible cost? And that is to be able to have that authentic discipleship with the Lord. That authentic discipleship in him is what our Lord requires. Then we see that it will demand from us a great price. It will demand from us our price both relationally and at the same time our highest price physically. So we do not need to know exactly. And as I ask the question, what does it cost? What is it, you know, cost to follow Jesus? We do not need to know exactly the specific cost of following Jesus, but we need to be totally committed. Are we sold out for the Lord? And that is what our Lord is asking. Did we sign up our agreement with the Lord at any cost? You know, are we willing to surrender our daily needs and our lives and whatever is sitting on the throne or the shrine of our hearts? Is that being replaced with God in our lives? You know, until we come to this realization of the Lord, this willingness to relinquish the what replaces Christ in our life, we won't be able to truly experience that real desire and that joy. And that is only found in our Lord. And so I want to quickly highlight just three main features of this parable. And as it's written over here, we see the three main parables, actually features of this parable. The first one is the highest price. Then we see there's no negotiating with our Lord. And then at last, we see the highest reward. So when we look at the highest price, we are able to see that as we read in verse 26 and 27, we see that this is a very extreme language, possibly one of the most extreme and very demanding passage, because there is that unconditional need for commitment that Jesus may have used here. And why did he use that? Because it shows us the highest possible cost. Because that highest possible cost is that full and in-depth relationship with our Lord. It is embracing and being part of the kingdom of God. And we are committing by saying that, "Lord, I'm willing to pay that price as I come and follow you." And then we see that that invitation is open to all, but it demands a very cost. It demands a very costly. You know, it may look like as if we are hating. There's hatred towards our wife, or there's hatred towards our children, or our parents, or even our own life. But we see that that invitation is open, but that cost is very pricey. Then we see that the other extreme is that I am calling you. I am calling you to get on that cross. And this is not necessarily a metaphor, but it is a reality of the fact of knowing, of actually joining in martyrdom, you know, which means that are we willing to die that daily death of the things that so hold us committed in our lives? You know, the things that we can consider in our lives as whatever is rewarding in our lives, or whatever is eye-pleasing or craving to the flesh, is it still being on the shrine of our hearts? And our Lord is saying that you need to kill it. You need to starve it. You need to forsake it all so that you are on that cross dying that excruciating death. What a hard saying that is at this point. But at the same time, we also know that, you know, if we are earning to be that authentic disciple with Jesus, it may require from us the highest price from all relationship that's here on this earth, and even the highest price physically. Maybe you might have to go, or we might have to go physically through death, or we might not, but that is the Lord's will and plan in how that happens. But in and all through this thing, our Lord is saying, but follow me, come after me, you know, place it all on me. Only then we will be able to know that authentic, that real and genuine cost of discipleship. And the second part we see is that there is no negotiation. So let's quickly turn to that last part on the other side of the text and jump forward three verses. This is in verse 33. And it says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know, Jesus is after giving these two examples of building the tower, and you do not want to have it left half finished because there is not enough commitment. There is not enough resource behind it. Or at the same time, you are going to war and you realize that I don't have enough soldiers to fight this war and that these enemies might defeat me. So on the cusp of you know, showing these examples, he is saying that whosoever in verse 33, whosoever or anyone, which applies to every disciple and not just few. And then we read in that verse, the first absolute that we see is that being a disciple of Jesus, that invitation is so loving and graciously offered to all in itself. And the other absolute that we see is that it is found in the word all, or forsaking all, that we must be able to forsake all to be able to be the disciple of Jesus. You know, we here in this church at ELBC, God has blessed us. God has called individuals here to be able to be stewards and treasurers, elders and deacons. And rightfully, we are faithfully committing to those services. God has called us for the upliftment of the church in itself. But we still hold on to our possessions. We still hold on to our families. We still hold on to our resources. That we, if all of those resources were to be taken away, are we still committed to the call of God? And it is very extremely hard to be able to say that. But at the same time, we see here in the cost of discipleship, this commitment is very personal, and that it is a life-changing devotion, because the highest devotion for us is to be the disciple of Christ. It comes with that costly price, but only few are there to really dive into it completely. And then there's no negotiating with Jesus. And that is what we see here, it is completely, it's 100%. There is no calculating here at all. So when we ask that question again, you know, the answer is that you are not asked to know the cost, but you assume that the cost is total, that it is complete, where all of our possessions are given up, where all of our relationships are given up, and even our life is given up. And this is what our Lord's expectation is. Because in our mind, we might calculate, we might say, oh, the cost is steep, the cost is high, and then I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore because a lot of hurdles are coming along the way. And no one signs up 70%, right? No one signs up 90% or 99.9%, but you know, for what God requires of us. Because if we look at the men and women in the Word of God, they were fully committed, even to the point of death, that they were completely sold out for the Lord. And that is what our Lord is asking us. And so then lastly, we see that here, the third feature of this parable is about this rich reward. And we need to get that right perspective in our hearts and our minds that that disciples are all in. There is no half commitment or even 99.9% obligation as well. And so we see in the verse 14, which is a couple of verses ahead, where Jesus actually gives this parable about the man who, the host who invited him to this house, and he speaks to him about giving a supper, that when you give a supper or dinner to someone, that, you know, make sure that you're not asking your friends or you're asking your brothers or your rich neighbors, because they can certainly repay you back. And that is how you mend, you know, what is being said. But you need to be able to call the maimed, the lame, and the blind. These are the individuals who cannot pay you back. And wonderfully, our Lord says here that they shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And how amazing is that to know that Jesus is saying that at no cost, that there is no cost that you can pay in following me, which will not be made up thousandfolds, that is in the resurrection. And praise be to God that God is a gracious and a merciful God who does that. And we also need to remember in Matthew 13, he also speaks about the parable about the kingdom of heaven, where the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden in a field, that the man who sees this kingdom, this treasure in this field, now he goes and sells everything that he has and comes and buys back this land. You know how, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit writes the word of God to be able to say that. We don't know what the cost of that man is, what all cost he had. But it is for our edification and for our reflection to know the cost that we have in our lives. You know, are we willing to give all that up to be able to come and buy that treasure in the field? And a man who sees it, he sells everything he has to get that treasure. So in other words, we can see all the so-called costs, all the so-called losses, and everything cannot be compared to the gains of having Jesus. You know, praise be to God that he is our greatest treasure in our lives. So we must count the cost in order to be able to be a disciple of Christ. The cost is total in principle, and it may be total in our actual experience as well. But in the end, having Jesus means all the gain in our lives. And here in this verse in Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul rightly says that, and you know, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse actually brings it all together, because that surpassing worth of knowing Christ, you know, and having Christ in our lives, that cannot be compared with any of the losses that we face. So in conclusion, the answer is that, so let us bring all of these things together in the questions that we asked previously into this final response. So in the end, having Jesus means all the gain. And how wonderful it is to know that he is our gain. He is our final purpose in our lives, to be able to know that is in following Jesus and having that authentic relationship with him at our highest possible cause. Authentic discipleship with him is our highest possible cause. It demands that highest cause from us, because in the examples that we had looked at, because just as those two individuals, we see the king, and as well as we see this builder, they sat down and they counted the cost of building the tower and also going to war, because you have to consider the lives of your soldiers. But we must be faithful in considering the cost in following Jesus, that it is that total cost. We cannot sign up 70%, but the commitment has to be full. It has to be an unreserved vow. And that should be complete if we desire to be that true, authentic disciple of our Lord. And that in the end, we see that the cost is nothing compared to the worth of knowing our Lord, our Savior. So with that in mind, let us keep this faithfully and prayerfully consider and evaluate the cost, the high cost of following Jesus, because being able to be that authentic disciple of Christ is what our Lord requires us. And that in the end, that there's nothing compared to him, and to be able to know him faithfully.